There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hey, everybody, this is a members preview for today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing and you're listening on YouTube, go ahead and hit the join button or the link in the description to become a member on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on the podcast feed, go ahead and become a member at theconfessionalspodcast.com/join, and you can hear the whole episode today. Hey guys, before we get to this episode, I want to remind you we are doing Squatchella on August 3rd. Me, Blurry Creatures, Ninjas Are Butterflies, and Expanded Perspectives are going to go live on stage, do our shows live in Nashville on August 3rd. If you want tickets to this event, go to squatchella.com.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
Saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg and I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkle. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. Thanks for being here for a members show exclusive. If you haven't checked out our documentaries on MerkleFilms.com, I highly suggest you do that after the episode. And Sasquatch and the Missing Man is not on there right now, but it will be available on demand at MerkleFilms.com very soon. So if you didn't attend the world premiere, it's okay. You can get it on demand at MerkleFilms.com in the coming weeks. All right, today we have Russell and Audrey on the show. They are a married couple, and they both bring Bigfoot encounters that they experienced separately to the table today. They grew up in the same town. They knew each other growing up, and they had no idea each other's families were having experiences with Bigfoot, and that's what they come to talk about today. She had experiences when she was a child, and Russell had when he was younger, and some of these are very up close and personal. Up in the Kinderhook, New York area, I hope you enjoy this conversation I have with them, because I certainly did. What a great couple they were. Let's get to it right now. All right. Today we have Audrey and Russell. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Good. So I almost said y'all, but I know you're up in New York. So I was like, what do they say in New York? And I was going to say use. That's what I used to say in Philadelphia, use guys. So I'll just say it. How are y'all? Because that's how I talk nowadays down here in the South.
Because you're down in Tennessee now, right?
down here in Knoxville, Tennessee, yeah, living the dream.
Knoxville.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I love living down here. And I kid you not, though, my son almost immediately picked up an accent on certain things. And he just kind of like, I'm trying to think of a word now that he would draw out. But he picked up like a Southern drawl almost on certain words. And I'm like, that happened fast. And I do it, and the locals think I'm making fun of them. I'm like, no, it's just
you pick it up by listening to people talk.
Yeah,
and you start talking like that, mm-hmm. and you don't even realize you're doing it.
Yeah,
that's right. So when I say y'all, though, I guess it doesn't sound very natural. Like, oh, you're a funny guy. I'm like, no, I'm just saying y'all. No. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be y'all. Dang it, I did it again. You know, so. But listen, guys, I appreciate you hopping on with me. And we got a Bigfoot conversation coming today. You guys are in New York. And I want to hear both your experiences. And if you could, before we jump into your experiences, though, I would like to know what this environment is. I mean, from Audrey, your experience as a child, to Russell, your experience, did these things happen close near each other, or were they far away as far as your encounters go?
Probably about 20 miles.
Yeah, about 20 miles.
About 20 miles apart.
So it's really like the same environment. 20 miles is nothing. I'm assuming this happened around the Catskills based off our previous conversation we had before we started recording.
Across from the Catskills. We're on the other side of the river.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the Hudson River dividing us.
Okay, so like I'm down here in Tennessee. So when you say across from the river, I'm like, okay, so you mean the Catskills? Because it's like right there. So it's not too far, right?
Yeah, it's not too far.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, can Bigfoot swim? I don't know. But
you know what? I'll put nothing past him. I believe it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The first time I heard of a Bigfoot encounter up in that area was the Catskills, I believe. And it was a guy who had bought a property and he was getting it prepped. It was like a cabin and stuff. And he was out there. I don't remember this guy's name. This was years ago before I even started a podcast. He was out there chainsawing wood and cutting down trees. And he wound up having a log thrown at his head. Ooh. And it broke his, neck, and he had to crawl back to or wiggle, or I don't know. I don't think he was doing much of walking.
Yeah.
But I remember he like drug himself back to his cabin. His wife was in town and she wasn't even around. And he, I guess, wound up sitting on his front porch and drank a bunch of beer until she got home so that she could drive him to the hospital. But that started this journey for him of looking into the topic, because he's like, what threw a log at my head and broke my neck? And that's when he started doing his own little research up there. And I guess he discovered a lot of like Bigfoot in the area and on the property. And that's kind of what made him a believer. So if it's not a sighting, I guess Bigfoot throwing a log at your head and breaking your neck, that will make you a believer.
Oh, if it doesn't wake you up, it'll definitely kill you.
For sure.
Sure. Yeah, if it doesn't wake you up, it will knock you out.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
So, Audrey, I want to hear about your experience. If you could tell us, you know, where this happened at and what you saw and what was going on. I think you said, or at least Russell said in the email, you were a little girl when this happened, right?
Yeah, I was about, I was about 11, 12 when it happened. We lived in an old farmhouse. It was a two-story double farmhouse, and it was on a backcountry road. And we were in the house, and my mom, we had some dogs, and the dogs were carrying on outside, and my mom had a pot-belly pig, and it was making a whole bunch of noise, too. So my brother and I, and it was about probably, it had to be... Wow. It was definitely nighttime because it was dark out. And we went out to see what the commotion was. And my brother and I went over to the dogs and checked the dogs and that. And the way the house was laid out, or the backyard, you had like it was like the driveway went up in behind the house. And then about probably 30 feet. It was probably 30 feet, the whole back of the house for driveway area. And then there was a field, a big farm field, and behind that. And we heard a noise, but we thought it was the dogs. So we went out and we looked at and we checked on them, and they were looking towards the back. There was like a little knoll near the fence, and they were looking that way and carrying on. And my brother and I were like, I don't know what they're carrying on about. Well, when we shined our flashlights over there, we saw these two big eyes. I mean, they were huge, staring at us. And of course, you know, we were young. We screamed. We ran in the house, got my mom, and we were telling my mom that we saw two big eyes on the little knoll. So my mom went out and she jumped in the car and turned the car around, and she had the headlights facing on it. It stood up. Oh my God. My mother left the car running, ran in the house, got my dad. My dad came out. And just as my dad came out the door, the thing was turning around. It was huge. And my dad turned around and he looked at all me, my brother, and my mother. And he said, we didn't see a thing because no one's going to believe us.
Wow.
And then you would be considered crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then not.
I mean, this is back in the 80s.
Yeah. This is.
So.
Yeah. This is in the early 80s.
Yeah. Because people will think you're cuckoo if you, you know.
Yeah. 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 So it was like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, we saw in the newspaper a woman in Chatham, which was, it's like a 10-minute drive, was in her bathroom and she saw a Sasquatch looking at her in her bathroom window, through her bathroom window. And my dad said, thank God we're not crazy.
Yeah.
We know what we saw. We know what we saw. Yeah. Yeah. It was very scary.
So, all right. You guys weren't the only ones that saw it. Somebody else in the area saw it as well.
Yes.
Did you guys then feel comfortable talking about it as a family? I mean, did you ever tell anybody other than me? Am I the first one to hear about this family story?
Oh, only my husband.
Yeah, she's only that
was it. My brother was like, you know, people aren't going to believe us. People aren't going to believe us. And then in Kinderhook.
No, I'll tell that part.
Oh, okay. All right.
Were you talking about the girl on the bike?
Yes.
Yeah.
The girl on the bike.
Yeah.
Yes.
That involves my.
This was like a chain of events that happened within a month. So it was just. So we were like, okay, so we're not crazy. I guess they exist.
Oh.
So, I mean, what was your knowledge or information? I mean, we're talking early 80s. I mean, I don't know what the world was like back then when it came to cryptids. Was there like a knowledge of, oh, we saw a Bigfoot, we're not going to talk about it? Or was it that you saw something you don't even have a word to describe it as and you're not going to talk about it? I mean, what was the knowledge on this topic of Bigfoot for you guys?
Oh, my dad said it was a Bigfoot. He's like, it's a Bigfoot, but because it was, and it started to turn. It was just turning to walk away from us. Cause I think, I don't know if the car running and the lights on him and us carrying on kind of more or less scared him away. I don't know, but he was turning away from us and going up into the field, up into the woods. So, and we never saw him again, but yeah, it was, yeah.
So, all right. And the reason why, if I remember correctly, you guys had any clue what was going on because the dogs were going off, right? The dogs were going crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
And the pig was squealing.
Was that the pig was squealing? That's right. Yeah. So like, was that something that was, did it ever happen again like that? Or did you guys ever have any, I guess, leading up to that experience, was there ever a time where the dogs were going crazy, the pig was squealing, but you just never saw anything? Or was this a one-off time where...
No, it was the one-off time. That's what made us go out and look and see what was going on. I mean, the dogs barked every now and again, but that pig never carried on like that.
Makes you wonder. It makes you wonder.
I think he had pork on his diet. Is what I think.
I think he was looking for some food.
Yeah, I think he was going for the pig.
Yeah. Because I mean, he was right on the knoll, and like I said, when we shined the light, and we saw those huge eyes, they were huge. I mean, like huge eyes, and he was very, very tall. Of course, I was only 12, so I mean, he looked like a giant to me. But and his shoulders were massive, and he just sauntered. You know, his arms were hanging down, and he sauntered away. I was just like, and we all went back in the house. Yeah.
So with the size of this thing, I mean, you said that, you know, you're 12, so everything's giant to you. But I mean, clearly it looked bigger than normal. How big, like it, compared to your dad, like you know how big your dad is. So compared to your dad, how much bigger was this thing?
Well, her dad is a big man.
My dad was, what was he? He was 6'1".
6'1",
and he was about
a big man.
Yeah, he was about 225 pounds, and he was very broad at the shoulders, and he was bigger and taller than my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it made my dad nervous. So if it made him nervous, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen. All right. So listen, I'm 6 feet tall. All right. If I saw a 5 foot gorilla man thing in my backyard, I'm still scared.
I can understand that.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if I saw one that was 6 feet tall, I'm like, okay, that's not normal. I'm scared, you know? And I go out hunting for these things, but listen, I'm like a dog chasing my tail. If I ever see one, I'm going to be scared, you know?
You don't realize the amount of fear that is actually in your body. I mean, because my experience was a lot worse.
I wasn't as close as you were.
was, mine was really bad.
Yeah.
And it messed me up for it took me 10 years to go back in the woods to go hunting again. But when I went into the woods, I carried a whole box of shells. I figured I'd have a chance.
Yep. It's like, what are you shooting? What are you hunting? Bird. Why do you have double up buck? Well,
no,
how
no,
long
no.
Of a story?
No, 270. Oh, yeah.
270.
270. Oh, yeah. No.
I got you.
And we loaded our own bullets. They were like 220 grain silver tip bolt tails. So I had a chance. I had a chance to come back out.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, I don't want to move into your story quite yet, because I got some questions for Audrey.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I'm not done grilling her. No,
I can't do that.
No,
I wish my brother was there, because then my brother could tell you too. I mean,
yeah, no, I have no doubt. What I want to know is, how did this change the family environment, or did it at all? I mean, I try to think about, you know, if I had an experience like that, forget my family that I have now that I'm in charge of, my kids and stuff. Like, it's a totally different environment because of what I do. Like, my kid wakes up talking about Bigfoot, you know, it's, I raise weird kids. So like, but, with you guys, I mean, I imagine when I was a kid growing up, if I had that experience with my family, my mom, my dad, my siblings, I'd imagine that I wouldn't be able to stop talking about it. And maybe my dad would, you know, kind of like try to brush it off because he does like a similar thing. You know, nobody's going to believe this kind of thing, but I know, at home, I think that the conversation would be had quite often, and then at least once a year, be like, "Hey, you remember that one time when we saw a Bigfoot out by the shed? You know, like did it kind of change things at home?"
Not really. I mean, well, I mean, at nighttime when we went outside, my mom had the car backed in, so when we went outside, if the dogs were barking, we turned the headlights on to make sure there was nothing out there. So, yeah, we were a little more cautious about when we went outside, definitely. And we always had the lights on.
I would have been terrified.
Yeah, it was something. We didn't, you know, it was scary.
12 years old. I mean,
yeah,
12 years old, you see a monster outside. I mean, like...
Yeah,
that has to do something for you. I mean,
It took a while, because my brother was just like, and I ain't scared of that thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about you, but I am. So he would go out the door first, and then I would follow him.
Figured anything, get you first. And I'll just turn around and go back inside. Yeah, that's nice.
I just push him around back in.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
How old is your brother compared to you?
We're only 2 years apart. He's 2 years older than I am.
Okay, so he was 14, raging testosterone. Yes. I can take anything.
In her eyes, he should die first. Stop. That's not nice. You're going to push your brother out there. Get him. Turn around and run back in the house.
My poor brother, he was the only boy out of the four of us. So, and him and I are the middle children. So, and there's only 2 years. We're only 2 years apart. So it was him and I mostly that got in trouble all the time. So, and he would be like, he'd be pushing us all the time. So we would do like stuff to him.
Yeah. Three girls against one boy. So that's not where I want him raised.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He deserved it most of the time.
Oh, no.
Yes, he did.
No.
Yes,
in your eyes, Meg.
He deserved it. Yeah. He would antagonize all the time.
The sibling wars. Yep. I never had to deal with that. I was always the oldest sibling. So, you know, it's not like I ever had to worry about getting picked on by my siblings. So I guess my last question for you with this situation is, you mentioned about the eyes a couple times and how big they were. When you saw the eyes, and this was nighttime, right?
Yes.
Okay. So How did you see the eyes? People talk about Bigfoot having a light reflection with the eyes, or self-illuminating eyes. Was it that they were the eyes were actually lighting up? How did you see the eyes? Were they reflecting from a porch light or what?
No, the flashlight. When we shine the light.
Flashlight. Oh,
yeah. When we
gotcha.
And then yeah.
And
when
then,
my
then
mom came
mom
out,
turned the car around.
Turned the car around with the car headlights on high beam. Then I think, really saw them.
Yeah, but I think anybody's eyes would brighten up, though, with bright headlights or a flashlight.
Yeah, but we caught them with the flashlight. That's how we knew something was there.
Okay, I wasn't there. Not for that.
And they were pretty big eyes. So, I mean, it wasn't no cow. It wasn't no bull.
Yeah.
It wasn't
That's the thing. And, you know, I've talked about mine a couple of times, and you're like, I know what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what anybody else thinks, yep. But I know if you've seen something in front of you, Tony, you would know what you saw, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just the thing. It's like, wow.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more of it, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com. Become a member if you're listening on the podcast feed. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and click the join button or the link in the description, and you can become a member today on YouTube and get this show.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.